WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. House Republicans have released their plan to keep the government funded into early next year. But will Democrats sign on?
Speaker Mike Johnson released a two-step CR, or continuing resolution, that would extend funding through January 19th and again February 2nd. It would be contingent on passing certain long-term appropriations bills by then. The package does not include funding for Israel, Ukraine, or the border. Johnson said it's a necessary bill to allow Republicans to fight for conservative priorities. House Democrats are still reviewing the measure, but the White House called it an unserious proposal. Nicole Killian, CBS News, Washington.
The credit rating agency Moody's Investor Service recently downgraded its outlook on U.S. government debt to negative because of political division in the Congress and increases in interest rates. The Israeli military this morning is saying it will transport babies from a hospital in Gaza that has no electricity. IDF spokeswoman Libby Weiss.
We are in touch with the staff at Shifa Hospital and will help evacuate that hospital, as we already did with the Nasser and Rentisi hospitals.
Separately, the IDF says militants fired anti-tank missiles today near the Israeli-Lebanon border, hitting some civilians. The IDF is retaliating with artillery fire. Protests are growing worldwide over Israel's military offensive in Gaza, says CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
This weekend, there were large protests in London, Sydney, and Spain, even outside President Biden's Delaware home, supporting Palestinians, while in Israel, thousands gathered in Tel Aviv to demand release of 240 hostages still held by Hamas. Israel says there will be no ceasefire until they are returned.
Donald Trump and the mainstream media are actually on the same page, at least when it comes to televising his upcoming federal trial. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Donald Trump's criminal trial here in Washington in the 2020 election conspiracy case is set to begin March 4th. There are no cameras permitted in federal courts nationwide, but a media organization has filed a motion seeking to allow them in this case, and Trump has signed off, saying every person in America and beyond should have the opportunity to study this case firsthand.
People in San Francisco are preparing for this week's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. President Biden is scheduled to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on the sidelines of the summit. This business owner is hoping the two can turn down the heat.
Very positive for both countries to sit down and talk it out and then understand each other instead of guessing, because guessing is very dangerous.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
If you're like 93.5, The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. America yet again finds itself on the brink of a government shutdown. People in Wisconsin want lawmakers to keep working Americans in mind when considering certain programs. More from Mike Mohn.
Congress has 1 week to approve a new federal spending plan, but with a new House Speaker in place come renewed concerns Republicans in that chamber will press for steep cuts before the latest deadline. Jordan Anderson, a disability rights advocate from central Wisconsin, worries about accessing disability benefits through Social Security if his job status changes. It's even more pressing for those close to him.
They have friends that are unable to work, so they kind of depend on the one check that comes every month, and it's vital to have what they need to buy groceries.
Anderson also worries about water quality in his community. The House passed an environmental appropriations package that cuts spending by 35%. Lawmakers did not respond to a request for comment, but generally, House GOP members have stressed the need to rein in spending. Hard right House members are pushing for cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program under the Farm Bill reauthorization. Linda Spaulding, a retired community college teacher from Kenosha, says many working families are struggling to get by.
When you're trying to decide, well, do I afford childcare or can I afford food on the table, what are you going to pick?
Bobby Kogan with the Center for American Progress says it's important for the public to know that House Republicans have floated cuts that some might argue go beyond extreme.
House Republicans called for an 80% cut. It's money that goes to poor school districts to make sure that they can hire teachers.
Lawmakers backing that idea say unspent COVID funding factors into their reasoning. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Generally sunny to mostly sunny skies today at 54 degrees. South to southwest winds up to 15 miles per hour. Clear and 34 in the overnight. On Monday, sunny, 53 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny and breezy, a little warmer, up to 58. It's 39 at our studios.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Let me start out by saying I have some of the top caregiver advocates in the state of Wisconsin on our show tonight. You will not want to miss what they have to say about what is happening at a state and federal level to support family caregivers. Joining me tonight will be Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources, and Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at University of Wisconsin and Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mics. I can't believe I stumbled on Pizza Box Mics with all of those long titles I'm trying to pronounce. And Pizza Box Mics will be joining me tonight, who has not only worked in the direct care field for many years, but was also a caregiver for his mother. Before I get started, though, I just want to say happy National Caregiver Month to all the dedicated, hardworking caregivers, past or present, for doing what you do to take care of those that you love and support each and every day. Bill Clinton had made a proclamation to caregivers back in the late 1990s during National Family Caregiver Month, and every president, I am happy to report, has done the same. This is a time to not only honor and thank the family caregivers that you know that give so much support to their loved ones, often at the cost of their own physical, financial, and emotional well-being, but it is also time to raise awareness on the fact that there are over 50 million caregivers in America providing over $600 billion a year in unpaid labor. With that being said, let's jump right in. I'm Liza Helen Brand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. And my first guest with me tonight is Beth Fields, Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. So, Beth, thank you for joining me tonight. I gave you a list of questions that I was going to ask you, and my first one isn't even on the list, but don't worry. I'm not throwing you a curveball. I just want to see if we can start out by having you make the connection between the work that you do at UW-Madison and caregiving.
Yeah, thanks, Liza. It's great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity. So I am an occupational therapist and a geriatric health services and caregiving researcher. So my work as an assistant professor is really focused on research-wise, trying to find ways to better systematically include family caregivers in systems of care, primarily in the hospital setting. And I also help educate the next generation of occupational therapy clinicians and make sure that they're practicing at the top of their license and including family caregivers.
Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that. And I can't believe I didn't ask you in D.C. So that is wonderful work that you are doing. And you're joining me tonight to speak specifically about the CARE Act, something that I know that is near and dear to your heart. What is the CARE Act and why is it essential for family caregivers?
Yeah, so many state legislators have passed the Caregiver Advise, Record, and Enable Act, which is the CARE Act. And this is a state-level policy that requires hospitals to provide patients the opportunity to identify and record the name of a family caregiver, inform that caregiver when the patient's discharge is going to happen, and then provide that caregiver with any information or education on how to help that patient once they're back home. And a total of 45 states and territories now have CARE Act laws in place, which again is really focused on trying to better support family caregivers when their loved ones go into the hospital and as they transition back home.
And you know, when I went to Washington, D.C. last month for the first ever Caregiver Summit, I had the pleasure of doing my Capitol Hill visits with you. And during those visits, you told the personal story of why the CARE Act is important to you. Would you mind telling me again about your personal story with the caregiving?
Yeah, of course. So a few years ago now, my older brother was diagnosed with congestive heart failure when he was admitted to a rural hospital here in Wisconsin because of leg edema. And the fluid quickly reached his lungs, interfering with his breathing. And my brother was moved to an intensive care unit and remained there for nearly 3 weeks, which is a long time.
Wow.
And just 5 days later, he was discharged home. So this experience was extremely traumatic for my family. Throughout his stay, my family received little information about his prognosis or what was going to happen. And most alarming to me is that my brother did not receive the necessary care services or referrals to really help him establish a healthier lifestyle once he transitioned back home. And my family received no instruction on how to best support him and or his condition moving forward. And since then, which is most important that I want to get across, is I firmly believe the CARE Act could potentially help with healthcare costs. My brother's been in and out of the hospital since that first day because of medical complications, which have really driven his healthcare costs up and has impacted not only his own health and quality of life, but my family's as well.
So if the CARE Act was in place, how do you think things would have been different for you personally?
I personally think my family would have learned. So at the time, I wasn't living in Wisconsin. I was in Pennsylvania, so I wasn't there to really advocate for him. So it was my older parents that were there at the bedside with him. And they weren't provided information on what congestive heart failure is. So I think first and foremost, had they been identified when my brother was admitted to the hospital and documented in his chart, more clinicians would have maybe been able to know that they needed to receive more education before he was discharged home.
Wow. I can't believe that this is still going on and happening and that we don't have something in place. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I'm joined here today with Assistant Professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Beth Fields, to talk about the CARE Act. And I know, Beth, that you talk all day, every day, in a professional setting. So I'm going to have a little fun with this. I decided to call you Badass Beth for the amazing work that you're doing. And since we've been talking about the CARE Act, which requires hospitals, and let me know if I'm wrong on this, repeating what you've said and what I've heard in the past, this requires hospitals to identify the patient's family caregiver, notify them of the hospital discharge or transfer, and make sure they understand and give them hands-on instruction on how to do at-home care once they get back home. Am I summing it up?
Yeah, that was a great summary, Liza. Identification, notification, and education is what the CARE Act is all about.
I love it. And I love rhymes way better than I love all the acronyms. So thank you for that. So Beth, Wisconsin is unfortunately a little late to the party on this issue. We are one of only like 9 states that don't, that doesn't have the CARE Act in place. Is that correct?
I believe today, I've been following AARP, I believe we're up to a total of 45 states and territories, 42 states.
Okay. So,
and then surrounding territories. So, yeah.
All right. So we're bottom of the chart there. what have you been able to learn from the states that have their act together, no pun intended, and have already passed the CARE Act?
Yeah, so before moving to Wisconsin, as I mentioned, I lived in Pennsylvania where the CARE Act went into effect in 2017, and I was part of a large team at the University of Pittsburgh and with their health system, UPMC, that looked at compliance and impact of the law, and we found that the health system organization and really the capability of their electronic health record where all the information is documented for a patient was really instrumental in compliance efforts. And we actually published some information on how health systems and what they should be thinking about if they're going to implement the CARE Act. There's also been other evidence, Liza, that's been done outside of my team. So a meta-analysis of 11 randomized controlled trials, and randomized controlled trials are typically what people refer to as the gold standard in research, that found that the integration of family caregivers into the discharge planning process significantly reduced the risk of hospital readmission compared to when caregivers were not included in the care of older adult patients that were discharged home. So that's huge because readmission rates are what drive healthcare costs up, not only for the patients and their families, but the health systems as a whole. Hospitals don't want to get dinged with readmission rates. And then AARP has also really been the champion for this policy, and they completed a national scan of the CARE Act implementation, and they found that during their site visits that hospital staff consistently reported that family caregivers appeared to be more engaged and confident when taking the patient home because what they thought was the CARE Act.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you know what you're doing, it would obviously help. I can't even imagine. And, you know, I think about someone like myself that gets queasy at the sight of any blood, or I would not be the person for the job. I really wouldn't. And to be given a leaflet or a pamphlet and sent on my merry way or our merry way, I couldn't imagine that that would end well, to be honest. And I know that there's situations like your brother, where it could have ended better. You know, I know that you've probably heard a lot of stories along the way. Is there anything that or any one particular one that comes to mind that you've heard out in your advocacy or in the work that you do that really also just reiterates the need for this?
Oh, Liza, I mean, being a caregiving researcher, I hear stories all the time that really just demonstrate that our family caregivers need help. They're doing more complex medical and nursing tasks than ever before because advances in healthcare and technology, and are aging longer. So I can't just say one story comes to mind. There's a handful of stories. The numbers are really there, and I want our state legislators to know that this is important.
Well, thank you so much, Beth, for the work that you do and for joining me. I know that you're out of state on vacation with some family time, so thank you. Up next, we are going to be joined with Janet Zander, another awesome advocate, and Civic Media's own Pizza Box Mike.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
clearly at this point what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker. That's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Joining me next is another badass advocate, Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging and Resources. Inc. There may even be an Inc. on that.
There's an Inc.
Someone in the organization said, no, I think we can add a little more to that. Let's just throw on an Inc. Okay. So, Janet, thank you so much for joining me tonight. There is an event happening at the Capitol next week that I believe is being put on by AARP and others. And I would love to give the microphone to you so you can tell us what is going on and what we can do to get involved.
Excellent. Glad to help out. So advocacy organizations like AARP like to have what we call Hill Days. These are days where we take folks up to the state capitol and give them an opportunity to share information and requests directly with their state legislators. So AARP Wisconsin is holding their Advocate Summit on Monday, November 13th and Tuesday, November 14th. Like most of these events, the first day will be some training and just getting to know one another and getting to know how to be a good advocate. And then on day two, they'll head to the Capitol and they'll be meeting with legislators, dropping off materials. And we decided to use that event to also piggyback and have a CARE Act press conference on Tuesday morning to help us lift that up utilizing the AARP red shirt volunteers as well.
And the CARE Act, as we mentioned, is something that we're trying to get in place here in Wisconsin that requires hospitals to identify a caregiver and let them know when they're going to be discharged or transferred, and then provide proper education for the caregiver so that they can care for their loved one once they get home. Actually, Janet, there's some positive news on that front, isn't there, about Medicaid and getting some of this help that we need? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, the timing is really good for this press conference. Recently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS as most of us refer to them, finalized a rule that would allow practitioners to bill Medicare for training caregivers. So up until now, it's been one of those things that I think many practitioners recognize is important to do, but there wasn't a way to compensate for the time that they're going to spend doing that. As of January 2024, that rule goes into effect and they will actually have a billing code that will not only enable them to be reimbursed, but encourage them to take that extra step and train caregivers.
That is wonderful. You know, I know that there's some pushback on the CARE Act, believe it or not, but that is a wonderful thing to have in place to say, hey, look, money's not the issue. We've got this code. You can bill for it. So that is great news. And I also wanted to share, because I know that you are on the lookout for some caregivers. Have you lined up personal caregivers, or should we put a shout out right now to see if we can drum up some stories?
We're looking for some actual folks who can come to the Capitol on Tuesday morning and be there by 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's not an easy ask. I've got some of my other caregiver advocate peers actively recruiting. Beth is going to be joining us in the morning as well. So we're still looking for caregivers, you know, whether it's somebody caring for a spouse, a parent, an adult with disabilities, a child with special needs. We welcome them all, and we have yet to confirm those other speakers.
So I will put out the request right now that if you believe the CARE Act should be passed, if you have a personal story about how things could have went better, feel free to email me, Liza@civicmedia.us, and I can forward you to Janet to make that connection. I cannot emphasize this enough. I am fairly new into the whole world of advocacies, but your stories matter. Your stories are what makes the difference. So we need those storytellers to come up and tell the legislators why this is important. So Janet, I also had the pleasure of spending time with you in Washington, D.C. at the first annual Caregiver Summit. And our time at Capitol Hill was part of the Act on Raise campaign. I know that we could talk about that for hours, but I have to say, first and foremost, you've been such a lifesaver to me because I am new to a lot of this. Your wisdom has been priceless. So thank you for that. But could you just give a quick recap on the Raise Family Caregiver Act and then why we were there to act on it?
Sure. Raise Family Caregiver Act was passed a couple of years ago. The administration has actively been working on laying out a strategy to better support family caregivers across the nation. They have an advisory council that's putting together plans, and they've developed a federal plan and a state plan and local initiatives that we can do that would better support caregivers. The CARE Act is part of one of those state plan initiatives, and we know that right now there are 15 federal agencies busy implementing 350 different actions at the federal level.
Wow. Sounds like they're just like being like a mom up there, right? Just working on 350 different things at once. That is awesome. And so there was also a few state issues, or there was one state issue that I also wanted you to be able to share with people because I think it was important, and I'm so grateful you educated me on it. And that is the reimbursement for volunteers.
Yeah, this is a really important federal issue and one that's near and dear to my heart. I've been working in the Aging Network for over 35 years and have personal experience. My father-in-law had end-stage renal disease, and so he was one of many folks who needed transportation for dialysis. And what we discovered is as our volunteer drivers are taxed for any reimbursement they receive for the gas and the maintenance of their cars, et cetera, if they receive over 14 cents a mile. That rate was set by Congress in 1997.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if you can ride a bike for 14 cents a mile at this point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, anybody doing business mileage currently is getting 65 and a half cents per mile. The IRS lifts that up annually when they look at what are the inflationary costs, and they make the adjustments. Congress has not looked at that since 1997. And yet volunteer drivers have the same vehicles, the same kind of insurance, and the same wear and tear on their cars and are volunteering their time. And so as we have difficulty recruiting volunteers, because they don't want to have this reimbursement taxed, we want to incentivize those volunteers to come back to us and really continue to offer us that valuable service.
Yeah, getting taxed on volunteering. What a wonderful concept. Come on, folks. We can do better. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver. And after this short break, I will be back with Pizza Box Mike.
Thank you.
93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com, and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson has revealed his two-step plan to keep the government funded into next year. Will Democrats sign on? Bloomberg congressional reporter Eric Wasson.
They're going to need Democrats, and Democrats will have a choice to make. Democrats certainly don't like the two-step scenario and find it overly complicated and difficult to administer.
There was a gathering in Palo Alto, California last night of people calling for an end to the violence in the Middle East. Farhad Andrabid Nabid was there.
It felt like a utopia. This is not just a Jewish and Muslim thing. You know? This is, for me, it's a human thing.
Donald Trump wants his federal trial next year televised. He spoke yesterday at a campaign rally in New Hampshire.
They said, sir, do you want a trial with or without cameras? Now, most people would say without. I say the opposite. I want this trial to be seen by everybody in the world.
Ultimately, the judge will decide whether to allow television cameras into that courtroom. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's been one of the most surprising stories this year in Wisconsin sports. Manager Craig Counsell deciding to leave Milwaukee and join the Chicago Cubs, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio.
We have a commitment to players and our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. And it extends to the next generation. We lost Craig, but I've reflected on this. You know, Craig has lost us.
In what turned out to be his last press conference as the Brewers manager, Counsell said despite losing in the playoffs to Arizona, he was proud of his players.
This was a great team. And I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. You should use your leadership to create an atmosphere like this. This was a team you want to be on. They celebrated each other. And it's just a group that it made baseball a lot of fun.
That's Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Generally sunny to mostly sunny skies today at 54 degrees. South to southwest winds up to 15 miles per hour. Clear and 34 in the overnight. On Monday, sunny, 53 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny and breezy. A little warmer, up to 58. It's 42 at our studios.
The Todd Almost Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Lock as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Lock has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lite. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC Tell, that's 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. I am joined now by Civic Media's very own Pizza Box Mike from Outside the Pizza Box, who does a show every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can listen to it here or stream it anywhere on the Civic Media app. Mike, before we talk caregiving, I'm going to allow you to give a shameless plug. Tell us a little bit more about your show and why the heck it's called Outside the Pizza Box.
Well, it's because I decided early on, I think it was February 15th, that occupying the Capitol to defend democracy and defend those that were less fortunate than me. And Ian's Pizza Boxes came to the Capitol, and I started making signs, and that's how that all came about.
So you were making protest signs with pizza boxes.
Yeah.
And you became known as Pizza Box Mike because you were there every day, a lot?
Yeah, I stayed overnight for a couple weeks, whatever it was.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned one of your big causes was the fight for 15, which goes hand in hand. Well, it goes with caregiving, right? I mean, you just told me earlier, a paid direct care worker. The, you know, correct name for it always seems to change, but basically paid caregiver for 30 some years.
Yeah. Started in college. I got tricked. I told you. The guy in my dorm said, hey, you want to make some money? This guy, yeah, it's easy. You know, he's in a wheelchair. You got to help him get dressed and stuff like that. But then he, you know, he goes to class himself and everything. But you got to get up. It's like at 5 a.m. because he has an early class. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, and I was kind of like a lot of other people that were stupid. I drank back then.
And oh, no.
So that first night I was waking up still from the night before. And it was 5 minutes to five, and it's snowing.
Oh, no.
And I run across the other side of campus, and I get there. And here's this gentleman who is, 6'7" and weighed 260 pounds. And only after I got there did I find out that I had to, my first day included a what's called a BP program, ball program.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
And I'm like, wow, I'm going to kill that dude. I mean, I can't. There's no way I'm going to leave this guy like this,
okay,
right?
6'7", and I know that you don't have a problem saying this because you're a wrestler, so they always throw, and you're a man, you're not a woman, so we hide all this stuff. But what is your height and weight?
Probably about, I mean, I was 5'5", and maybe 130 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. I was bigger than you. Okay, so 5 a.m, you're taking a bowel movement training, and 30 years later,
yeah,
there you are.
I mean, well, and that's how the fight for 15 came about. One thing about doing that after I left college, and I worked for a number of students there, and then when, like, their workers, I was also a resident assistant.
Sure.
And so when everybody went on vacation and there were people in wheelchairs that were there, I'd work for two or three or four different guys.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, you don't get into it thinking that you're going to be making friends with all these guys.
Right.
And sitting around telling jokes and doing things together. And so it, you know, that's what I mean. It turned into something like, well, yeah, you know, first of all, who enjoys seeing me at 5 a.m, you know? I might want to stick with that, you know, since somebody appreciates that. And then after I left college, you know, I met somebody that, you know, had just suffered an accident and was one of the fastest recoveries to get out of the hospital with the injury he had and needed help. And then it all started. And the thing about this CARE Act is the entire time that I've worked for people, their family members are powerless.
Right.
And so the empowered caregiver, I'm like, wow, this is perfect. You know how this works out. But yeah, for all those years, they couldn't work and get paid, you know,
right.
and, And they did a lot of work. So they were their volunteer thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't get paid for it. And then it over the years, it developed that, yeah, you know, part-time they could get paid for doing certain things. But for when they get out of the hospital, when they need IVs or they need something like that, we didn't even do that at the beginning of my career. That was, you know, you had to have nurses come in.
Sure.
But over the years that changed and we received training and then, you know, like the hospital would keep us informed because I worked for organizations. They were nonprofit, but they were ahead of the game as far as a lot of the other options that you would have for home health care.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're more, well, let's just say, you know, today when I went through the Capitol and saw all these lobbyists.
Right.
Well,
and you know what? I have to say this because you and I can talk about it. The women that I had on earlier can't.
Mm-hmm.
And why we don't have the CARE Act is hospital lobbyists, the hospital association.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're saying, oh, we do that.
Yeah, well, no, they don't. And I mean, UW nurses don't have a union. Don't get me started.
But right.
And that's how I got into the fight for 15. I was, you know, doing one of my preaching in the rotunda about, you know, how would you like one of your loved ones, you know, having someone come into your home and take care of your loved one for $10 an hour, you know? Do you feel safe with having a person that...
Yeah, how does that saying go? You excluded, right? You excluded, but you get what you pay for, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bad. But yeah, the fact that the families didn't have any say, you know, in a lot of the things that, you know, that they should be to help a family member. And you talk about the stress and the strain. And
yeah. Well, and you know, Beth made a great point that her parents didn't even really know or understand what their son had.
Right.
You know, and okay, thank God for Google, but that's not always there. That's not always great information. To be honest, if you're talking about medical stuff, don't Google it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just, the CARE Act, where was I going with the CARE Act? Other than we need to get it passed, it's going to help save lives. I mean, do you have any personal stories of people that you saw their parents or their loved ones just struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of, you know, parents watching one of their children.
Right.
You know, survive a serious spinal cord injury and then, you know, having to be there their whole life, you know, and being the caregiver.
Yeah.
And most of them, like, you know, I would for my mom or my mom did for me when I got sick.
Well, right.
We didn't mind doing that. But if there isn't a support network there or in my experiences, there's not enough people in the labor force. Because there's not enough pay. I mean, I had 30-some years experience, and I think my highest pay was $11.60 or something like that. And I was working 60 or 70 hours, but I couldn't. I had to work different programs. Yes. And you always had to have another job because you weren't making enough money.
And
or you had
no,
two or three clients.
No benefits?
No, I mean, well, expensive benefits, you know, to pay for health insurance was really high.
I can imagine. And, you know, let me ask you about this. I read that when it comes to the great exodus of paid caregivers, it's not only the common sense, the crappy pay and hard emotional, physical work conditions. It's also the management and the bureaucracy itself is a large part of why a lot of people leave. And I don't want you to name names of care agencies, but what is your experience with the agency themselves? Did you feel supported, trained, you know, heard?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky, but I spent a number of years in two different well-known nonprofit in Madison in Dane County. And I never had, bad experiences with the people, the organization, any of the management. I did with how powerless we were as workers, as well as family members. I can't give you all the details of what I mean by that.
Sure.
For example, working too many hours and there's supposed to be laws to protect you from as a worker to not work too many hours straight.
Right.
But when it involves the health care of the person that you're taking care of, I mean, you find a way to work around that. And then you have to bill to a different agency, so you're not over hours on another, you know, that's only funded for this much. And it's really kind of it's demeaning as hell is what it is.
And I've got to only imagine that there's little support for you as the paid caregiver. I mean, by the agency, where I'm going with this is caregiver burnout is almost a given for people that stick with this. I can't imagine that they have a support group, a support, you know, resources for you guys for your own well-being.
That is, in fact, what happened to me the last few years of my being in that industry was fewer workers, more clients, bills going up. I mean, you got to keep working what I feared happened. I thought, you know, I'm doing this working with people with physical limitations and eventually I'm going to need help because something's going to happen to me. And lo and behold, it did. I mean, I'd have to say that the heavy stress load I took for the last 4 or 5 years might have contributed to my illnesses.
I would imagine, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about that if we shift gears. You also were the primary caregiver of your mother? Is that what you're talking about? Or your own personal? I know you had your own health challenges.
I shared the house with my mom, and I would have to say that she was more of a caregiver than I was. Going through cancer treatment. And, she took me to the hospital a few times, emergency room. Without that, I probably wouldn't have made it. And, it went both ways. But
right.
When my mom unfortunately collapsed this year, the first thing I thought was, and I always told my mom, however long you want to stay here, Mom, I will always be here. You know what I mean? And that way I knew she knew if something happened or she needed me to be there, I was going to be there.
And can I ask, how old was your mom approximately, if you can't remember, when you had your cancer?
Was like 77 or 78.
So 70.
79, yeah.
Yeah. That's just...
And she was still my mom and my best friend, and she took care of me. And yeah, I was very lucky.
That is wonderful that she was there for you and that you were there for her. And
I shoveled the driveway so she could go to church.
You know what? Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, man, early in the morning, do you really need to go to church, Mom? If she wanted to go, I made sure that I got the driveway done. But for the first couple years I was there, I was limited physically to what I could do. I couldn't mow the yard.
Yeah.
I couldn't shovel. But now I'm back to He-Man strength again. I'm like, 125 pounds again.
Wonderful. I'm so happy for you, Pizza Box Mike. I'm going to pick up this conversation about Pizza Box Mike's own personal caregiving story once we return.
Thank you.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I am joined here today with Pizza Box Mike, who hosts Outside the Pizza Box every Friday from 7 to 8. Did I get that right?
Yeah, we got the same time slot.
All right, there you go. So
we must be doing really good.
I guess that's where they put the best. That's where they put the best of the best. So I want to make sure, actually you want to make sure, we both want to make sure that we end this on a positive, happy note, because there is no hiding or denying, or it's obvious. Being a paid caregiver is hard work, and you do it because you love the people that you're with and the work that you're doing, and you know that it's meaningful, you know that it's changing lives, and you know that people rely on you. What am I missing?
And you develop relationships and friendships and basically family, and they tell you that, you know, you can't have these kind of relationships. You can't be friends. They're your boss. But there's no way to control that. And again, if somebody's happy to see you as their caretaker and they don't have too many complaints, you know,
right?
Because there's always going to, you know, I was never perfect. I got better as time went on, and then again, you know, it kind of at the end. But
you got
it's a
better?
Rewarding. It's rewarding. It's fun. Okay.
It is. And I have to say, you got better as time got on. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I started out great. So I wanted to just share this story because I think it falls in line with what we're talking about, and it's hilarious. So yesterday I had total crappy day. Started out the day with having to pay a $500 insurance deductible at 7 a.m. And that was probably the highlight of the day, to be honest. All went downhill from there. But I work at MSCR, and I support people with developmental disabilities, actually whatever disability, in various programs. And so I was grumpy as all could be. I got there. I saw my crew. You know, they're just, we're loving on each other. And half of them went into the gym. We thought we were going to do bowling, but the sound was really cool. And one of the ladies started singing. So I said, let's do karaoke. So I have a blind woman singing and an autistic man just smiling, swaying back and forth swaying back and forth. And then there was another autistic man that was playing the drums on yoga blocks. And this is all to the sound of music, by the way. He's playing the drums to the sound of music. And then there was a woman with Down syndrome who informed me that she was a professional ballet dancer.
Right.
And so it was like the highlight, of this week to speak. You know, you're topping it. I loved our time together, so you're topping it. But there's so many of those great stories, right? There's so many of those moments that just make your day.
I only, and one time through my whole career as a caretaker, worked with children that were developmentally disabled, physically disabled, no speech communication, but communication through laughter and touch. I mean, that was pretty cool. Right. To make someone laugh and to get in trouble from the person that, you know, the adoptive, mother because I was making her son laugh too much while she was trying to talk on the phone. You know, come on. We're having a good time here. But, yeah, so that was a great experience as well. But very, you know, it's very trying because you're you know, first of all, you love the people for what they're doing to make sure that these children have a quality of life. And then, you know, some of them graduate from high school. You know, you see they're still going 15 years later. And then you see the obituary someday and you're like, think of the years that they got because there were caretakers out there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now, if people were paid what the real value of what that is, that would take a lot of stress and strain off everybody, but that's a whole nother
day,
show,
whole nother story. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. I can't wait to have you back. And I have a lot of other great people that I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to this month. Next week, I'm going to be talking with the Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin president about their ThinkAbility program, which supports hiring people with disabilities. I also hope to speak with the director of the Multi-Award-winning documentary Unseen, How We Are Failing Parent Caregivers and Why It Matters. I can't wait to talk to her about that. And then on November 22nd, I will be speaking with PhD Regina Lark, author of Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. What to do about that's going to change my life. Okay. And then to finish out November, I will be speaking with Kevin Cullen, if I'm saying his last name right, who is the Policy Initiatives Advisor for the State of Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services. Why do state employees have such long titles? Sheesh. And he's going to be talking about kind of what we're talking about today, the paid caregiver crisis and what Wisconsin is rolling out to do to address it. So I just also want to mention, if you know an outstanding caregiver that you would like to nominate for National Family Caregiver Month, then slide into my DM or email me at Liza@CivicMedia. I would love to be able to give them a shout out on air and to send them a caregiver gift box. You know, Nate, I'm having a little nerves about just saying slide them into my DM. That's not like a Netflix and chill.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Okay, thank God. Okay, because I didn't want to put that offer out there. So, yes, let's nominate some phenomenal caregivers. I got one standing right next to me. Any final thoughts, Pizza Box Mike? What are three things that you would tell a family caregiver?
I'd say go to the Capitol when they're having legislation.
Amen.
On these issues.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, why does that always happen? I was going to pay a parking ticket. That's why I filled the meter with an hour just in case, you know, I don't want to get another parking ticket while I'm going to pay, right? And I'm walking through and I'm like, man, look at all the lawyers and lobbyists here. And look, it has to do with healthcare or something like that. I don't know, but you know, lobbyists that are there for when they talk about, well, I'm a lobbyist for disabilities. And I'm like, yeah, for, you know, profiting off disabilities, and then they walk away. So, you know, and that's how you get involved, man. You know, being truthful and looking the bad guy in the eye and making him look at the floor and walk away is the best way to get involved.
Well, I love the work that you've done and that I know that you'll continue to do. And thank you so much for spending time with me tonight. Thanks for having me. Yeah, have a great week, everyone. I know that caregiving is hard and difficult, but you got this. Stay tuned to The Empowered Caregiver. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Just be natural. Try to roll around in it gracefully and not like a puppy.
Maria's photography studio is zooming into a flurry of projects.
Where did I put that memory card?
She needs an assistant to keep business in focus.
Hang on while I change the external flash. Oh,
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The U.S. continues to pressure Israel to stop attacking Hamas positions in hospitals in the Gaza